Winning in March matters, but some people are foolish enough to think that the Big Ten's failures in this month in the past years mean for some reason that it's not an elite basketball conference.
You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey there, thanks for tuning in to Locked On Big Ten. I'm your host, Nate Dickinson. Be sure to follow along wherever it is you get your podcasts, on YouTube and on Twitter too. The name is at Locked On Big Ten, wherever you're finding it. 10 at the end when you're typing it out, not T-E-N. Coming up on today's show, we're going to get, of course, a preview into Michigan State and Kansas State. The Big Ten's lone representative remaining in the NCAA tournament tries to make it on to the Elite Eight, while on the other side, everybody else in the Big Ten is hoping that, well, they can at least get some sort of positive representation in this tournament. We're going to start off with that topic, though. A whole lot of trash has been thrown the Big Ten's way over the last few years because of an inability to go deep in this tournament. But the idea that the failures in the field of 64 means that the Big Ten is a failure as a conference is absolutely absurd. This is an elite basketball conference. There's no doubt about that. But for some reason, what's happened over the last few years in the Big Ten failing to go deep in this tournament has people thinking that the Big Ten just isn't a good basketball conference anymore. And that's just nuts. I understand. Winning in March is important. It's the most important thing that you have to do in college basketball to maintain success as a player and as a coach as well. But to just totally throw away everything that the Big Ten has done in the regular season over the past half a decade, if not more, is just ridiculous and irresponsible of a college basketball fan. Let me run through some of the numbers for you, but I want to start by giving you this one point. This tournament is not designed to find the best team. Now, you can go up and down and take a look at the number one overall seeds in the NCAA tournament, and the Big Ten hasn't had a ton of those either. But when you're putting a field of 68 teams together in a single elimination tournament, this is not the way to figure out who the best college basketball team is. It's a great way to provide fans with a ton of entertainment, and this is the most entertainment of any tournament that we have here on the continental United States. However, it is not the way to figure out who's actually good at basketball. And we see it time and time again. Very seldomly does the team that we actually regard as the best in the NCAA tournament turn out to win the NCAA tournament. And that's not just a matter of, oh, well, maybe they're best on paper, but you need to play the games. No. I'm talking about when you look at the structure of an actual tournament format and you're trying to figure out who the best team in the country is, every other sport does it better. Best series out of sevens for teams, buys for only the top teams in the tournament. That's the kind of thing you're looking at when you're talking about how you figure out who the best is. NBA probably does it best, partly because the best teams are less likely to lose in a series full of seven, but also because their tournament is structured properly. What I'm trying to get to is that the NCAA tournament is not designed to get the best teams wins. It's designed to get you and I exciting basketball games and upsets like a Fairleigh Dickinson. That is what it's designed for. That is what it does. So just right off the bat, you have that kind of skewed look at things where people are saying, oh, the Big Ten hasn't won this tournament in more than 20 years. That's not an elite basketball conference. Well, guess what? The team that wins this tournament every single year has to be really good too, but also has to get really lucky as well. And the Big Ten just has not had that same kind of luck. Not to give that blame to every loss the Big Ten has had here, but it's not like the Big Ten is just being a it's not like it's the worst team in all the games that it's losing. I guess I should say that. But let's actually run to the numbers. If you want to argue the Big Ten isn't the best anymore, I could see that. Because again, conference hasn't won it all in a long time. It's had a despicable performance in the NCAA tournament over the last few years. And we've seen the ACC has been better in years. The Big 12 is right now on a little bit of a hot streak. The SEC is doing pretty well as well. But the only conference that has been there year in and year out at the top of NCAA tournament bids is the Big Ten. Every single Big Ten school except Nebraska has made this NCAA tournament in the last four seasons. That's 13 schools who have made the team and made the tourney in the last year. No other conference in the country can boast that many teams that have been competitive recently. Nobody. In other news, the Big Ten has the most NCAA tournament bids, not in this tournament, not in the last tournament, not in the tournament before that, or not even in 2020 when there wasn't a tournament. But for the past four seasons, every single year, the Big Ten has had the most teams out of any conference make this NCAA tournament. So if you want to say the Big Ten can't win the big one, that's not something that's really measurable in this tournament, because the team that wins the big one every year is virtually unpredictable. We fill out brackets every season. We see the numbers about how many millions of different combinations there are to pick a different bracket, and picking a winner is that hard. So yes, the Big Ten hasn't won one as of late, but at the same time, who are you to say who the best team is in the NCAA tournament and who is going to win it every single year? It's a hard tournament to predict, an even harder tournament to go out and win, even if you are the better or best team, which you could argue the Big Ten has had a couple of times during this stretch. This is an elite college basketball conference. I want to make it very clear where my argument stands here. Again, if you want to argue it's not at the top of the top anymore, you can argue that. I would argue that that changes year after year. But if you want to make an argument that the Big Ten doesn't deserve the recognition it gets, doesn't deserve the bids that it gets in the tournament every season, then that's just disrespecting a body of work and disrespecting what we've seen out of the Big Ten year in and year out. And it's the ability to win non-conference games early, the ability to beat the best teams in your conference during that time. And the fact that the Big Ten beats up on itself throughout the months of January and February always has people by March saying, oh, well, the Big Ten isn't going to win anything anyway. What's the point in putting this 500 Big Ten team into the tournament? It was infuriating seeing Big 12 teams and SEC teams with records under 500 in their own conference actually get in and get much higher seeds than what the Big Ten had put together. In this particular season, there were some Big Ten teams who took some tough losses and drove themselves down in the stocks. But is overall, the idea that the Big Ten can't keep up with the Big 12 or the SEC or the ACC, it's absolutely laughable. And yes, the evidence suggests that as of late, the Big Ten just isn't quite as good as the best of the best at the other conferences. But to suggest that this conference as a whole isn't keeping its pace with everybody else, that's just not seeing what's happening. That's paying attention only to the games that happen in March and nothing else. And if you're a fan who watches the Big Ten throughout the season, I trust that you know to know better than to believe what those people who are only watching the tournament games are saying. The Big Ten's an elite basketball conference, and it proves it every single year, whether it wins the tournament or not. So get that garbage about them not being good enough out of my face. However, while I think the Big Ten is doing pretty well, one team that may need to actually make a legitimate change is the Purdue Boilermakers. With the numbers that you've obviously already seen, the last 3 years, you lose to a 13 seed, a 15 seed, and now a 16 seed. That's not the best way to go about your NCAA tournament, obviously. And I wonder now with Purdue, more so than ever before, because now is pretty much rock bottom, has the game just moved on from what Purdue wants to do? Because while Zach Edey is the latest iteration of it, this is far from the first time we've seen Purdue with some sort of 7-foot big man just running things in the post and the offense working around him. It's an old school kind of way to play basketball. And I wonder now if the college basketball game is just caught up to what Purdue tries to do. Because there's a reason why Zach Edey isn't a huge NBA prospect, right? Yes, he's 7'4". Yes, he's shown incredible improvement in his ability to work in the post on offense. But he just isn't an NBA player. He's not fast enough. He's someone who would honestly be getting in the way when it comes to running up and down the court in the NBA. And for a while, and really up until, I guess, last weekend, I was always under the impression that while, yes, that doesn't work in the NBA, there's still a value to having that huge big man in the college game. It's a slower game. People are working in more half-court sets. You're able to work with it and not only work with it, but thrive with it, as Purdue did for most of the season with Zach Edey. Now, on the other hand, maybe college basketball is just catching up. We've talked about and talk about all the time, just in general sports discussions, about how the games get faster, the people get stronger and bigger, and at some point it'll plateau. But right now, what we see more than anything is a higher concentration of those players. So we're at a point in the NBA where just about everyone's so good, so fast, so strong that Zach Edey can't play there. That just wasn't the case in college basketball yet. There were still plenty of teams who, I mean, you know how it works. Every team has one, two NBA caliber players if you're one of the best of the best. But then after that, it's college basketball players. Guys who are not going to make it past this level, and they know it. And Zach Edey was a guy who would be able to dominate that level. But again, have no real hopes of making it to the NBA. Now you have, I think, a situation where everybody else is starting to get a little bit faster, a little bit stronger. Yes, only the best of the best still make it to the pros. But as far as what Zach Edey can do out there, I think he's dealing with a much faster game than when he was, say, growing up, of course. So I think it's a legitimate question now to ask. Is it time for the big man like Zach Edey to go extinct in college basketball? I don't think we're quite there yet. But this Purdue run is the example. I mean, Purdue is the team that always has the signature big man. And they have now, in three straight tournaments, lost to teams that are not only significantly worse than they are, if you just look at the numbers, but also significantly smaller, too. FDU, smallest team in the NCAA. St. Peter's, certainly not a big team last season either. These are a couple of schools that really should have no business beating Purdue. And let me be very clear. It was not just this that lost Purdue that game. They could not shoot for anything, and Matt Painter got thoroughly outcoached. He should have switched it up. But maybe that's the point I'm making, is that when it comes to March and it comes to wanting to win those big games against the best teams that do have those best and fastest players, Purdue has kind of been proven to get exposed year in and year out. And maybe switching it up is a little bit more that Matt Painter has to do than just getting it away from Zach Edey all the time. Maybe it's time to take that big man strategy and just throw it out the window and go with something else. Because Purdue has had plenty of talented players, but they have year in and year out lost to lesser teams. And while I don't know if I certainly believe it yet, everything suggests that it's because of the way that they play this game, and that the way they play this game may just be an old school style of basketball that's getting passed by. Just my thoughts on things. I don't know for sure about Purdue, but I know something has to be done because the people in West Lafayette are not happy with what we've seen. And Matt Painter's in a weird spot, being an incredibly good coach, but at the same time, getting some of that backlash too. Well, let's stop talking about the teams that are out of this tournament and get into the one team that still is playing and plays today, the Michigan State Spartans. They've got a matchup with Kansas State in the Sweet 16 later on in Madison Square Garden. We'll get into it here on Locked On Big Ten. Before we do that, though, the tournament is heating up and in full swing, which means now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't hit. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. And then you can bet on anything from money line to point scores, threes made, any of that kind of stuff. And you can also put together your favorite bets for the week on parlays, whether it be getting into the NBA season, getting into the NCAA tournament weekend, or betting on Michigan State. They're -1.5 today. We'll get into that in a minute. All of it you can do over on FanDuel. It's FanDuel.com/lockedon to get that no sweat first bet of up to $1,000 in bonus bets. FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Also, thank you again for making Locked On Big Ten your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything you need to know about college basketball in one place. Plus, hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players too. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So let's talk about the game at hand here. Michigan State starts off Sweet 16 weekend. That's the first round. Both games started with a Big Ten game. Sweet 16 games are starting with a Big Ten game. It's Michigan State, Kansas State. Spartans are the 7 seed. Spartans are also a slight favorite in this game. Ironically, maybe because of the reputation of Tom Izzo, apparently he doesn't count when we talk about the Big Ten getting scrutinized here. He's made it to another Sweet 16. We already know the 25th straight tournament he's made it to with the Spartans. So he gets a slight edge in the betting numbers against the first-year head coach over at Kansas State. As far as Michigan State, we know the story with the Spartans. This team makes threes, makes them efficiently, shoots nearly 40% from behind the arc, but does not take a high volume of threes, and also plays good defense too. Not a team that turns the ball over too much, but is a team that holds you down as far as shooting. Holds teams to just over 30% from three, 40-something percent it was, low 40s from two-point range. This is a team that can lock down on defense, and that is the kind of stuff you need when you're going into a tournament game. Threes, defense, that's the kind of stuff that can win you a game. Kansas State, on the other hand, if you want to know what they do well, they move the ball on offense. Really, really good when getting assists. One of the top teams in the nation in assists per game. But with all that passing, it can get a little bit sloppy. Also one of the top teams in turning the ball over per game. That's my biggest matchup for me. Out on the perimeter, Kansas State moving the ball around against Michigan State's defense that, again, does well, but doesn't quite get the turnovers you would like to see from them. If Michigan State can get a couple of steals here, get Kansas State to start playing sloppy and get them out of their rhythm, I could see Michigan State winning this game by a whole lot. Otherwise, I expect a close game, and I expect Kansas State to be able to shoot a little bit better than what Michigan State has held opposing teams to. But right now, this is a game that, if you ask me, you're looking at two players for the Wildcats. One you've probably already heard of, Marquise Noel. Shortest player in the field, 5'7". Obviously a really shifty guard that can score in a whole bunch of different ways. Michigan's going to have, let's say, a unique strategy to try and shut him down. Other name, Keontae Johnson. Both of these guys averaging 17 points per game. Both of these players are the only players on the entire Wildcats roster who play more than 30 minutes per game. So that's an interesting note as well. But when you're looking at the actual big guys to know, those are the two names. Keontae Johnson, the forward, and the small guy, Marquise Noel. A couple of guys who are the key playmakers for this Kansas State team. I mentioned before, those two guys are the only players who play 30-plus minutes for the Wildcats. That could spell trouble if you get into foul trouble. Michigan State, a much thinner team when it comes to that bench. They do not go as deep as Kansas State does. So if we do get into a battle of fouls here, it would be Michigan State that gets hurt more by losing a player than what Kansas State would. Of course, that depends on the player. But a deeper bench for Kansas State. That's the point here. Game is at -1.5 in favor of Michigan State. Of course, that's where I'm going. I'm not going to bet against a Big Ten team. That's the only Big Ten team left in this tournament. But I think it's a strong bet, too. -1.5 is something I think would be a little bit bigger if these seeds were a little bit closer. Michigan State is the 7. Kansas State is the 3. So I think that the seeding affects things a little bit here. I think most of the money's going to end up going on Michigan State. I believe this game was at just an even point at some point yesterday. So if you want to get your money in, your money will be with the majority of money betting Michigan State. I have not looked to see where the smart money is right now or where the sharps are at. But as far as where I see it, at FanDuel.com, Michigan State -1.5 is a solid bet to make. Overall, again, the key to this game is Michigan State forcing turnovers, or let me just say forcing Kansas State to get uncomfortable on offense, because they like to pass the ball around. They like to try and work an easy shot. And maybe it doesn't show up in the stat sheet as turnovers for Michigan State, but you'll be able to tell as you watch this game whether the Spartans defense is doing what it needs to slow down the Wildcats. That's the biggest key to me. Out there on the perimeter, when you've got a guy like Marquise Noel dribbling all over the place and looking for passing lanes, can Michigan State slow that down? If they can, I think Elite Eight's an easy target for them to get to. Otherwise, could be some trouble against the Wildcats. We will, of course, see what happens later tonight. In Big Ten news, as we wrap up the show, we have big news coming out of Big Ten basketball. Just after getting eliminated in this round of 32, Penn State head coach Micah Shrewsbury is no longer the Penn State head coach. He's taken the head coaching job at Notre Dame for the Fighting Irish. Good job for him. After just 2 years at Penn State, he went from taking this team to under 500 his first season to the NCAA tournament in his second year. It was the first time Penn State's made that tournament since 2011. It obviously, as we talked about throughout the season, means a lot to all of those seniors who were on that team. And now, as all of those seniors leave, so does Shrewsbury to take over the job in South Bend. It was a successful stint for him. Of course, Penn State would have liked to see him stay longer. For Shrewsbury, man, if you thought you were at a school that only cared about football before with the Nittany Lions, welcome to the Fighting Irish, man. And not to downplay the job or what he's going to do there, but yeah. I mean, for him to go from one big football school to another big football school, I don't think he'll have too much of an adjustment as to how much people are caring about the one sport compared to the other. That's all for the Big Ten news today. We do have a couple of games on the Big Ten schedule. The men's hockey NCAA tournament starts up this evening. Minnesota, the top seed in the tournament, is facing off against Canisius. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight on ESPN2. And also in the women's NIT, the Nebraska Cornhuskers are at Kansas in their Super 16, as they call it. Sweet 16 already was taken. That's a look at everything going on around the Big Ten today. Thanks for making Locked On Big Ten your first listen today. For your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything you need to know on and off the court. Plus, hear from big-name experts, coaches, and players throughout the basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. I'll be back tomorrow with more here on everything that goes on around the Big Ten. Until then, I'm Nate Dickinson at Nate with Sports, and you can follow the show at Locked On Big Ten. 10 at the end, not T-E-N when you type it, on your podcast feed, on YouTube, and on Twitter too. Nate Dickinson with Locked On.